It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're gonna sell it, we're gonna tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're gonna try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, it's time for Swap Shop. This is Glenn Coble, and I'm your moderator for Swap Shop. We will, for the next 45 minutes, we will have Swap Shop, and you can sell your tchotchkes. You can sell just about anything you can imagine, except for things that need registration or licensing or that sort of thing. Like, you can't sell your house on our show. I'm not sure you'd want to. You can't sell guns. You can't sell cars. You can't sell boats. Anything that needs to be registered, we won't take here on Swap Shop, but we will take things like toaster ovens. We will take things like, tarpaulins. Did I pronounce that right? Whatever little odds and ends that you have that you want to get rid of, garden equipment, that sort of thing. They're all good things to sell on Swap Shop. Bicycles, we can sell bicycles, even though I think in the city you have to, do you still have to have a license to ride your bicycle in the city? I don't know. I had one and didn't have a license, so maybe I was breaking the law. I don't know. Anyway, I know my doggie has her license. But if you're interested, the phone number here, if you want to call in, also if you have things like, community events, bazaars, that's that type of thing. You know, non-profit events that you're going to have. You're welcome to call and give us that information as well. Just call here at 740-383-9944. Again, I'll give you that number here. I'll give you a second to grab the pencil. You got it? All right. 740-383-9944, which is, if you look at your phone, it's WWGH-9944. Did I say that wrong? I said that wrong. No, I said that right. I'm going to look at my phone here and make sure I'm right. It's 9944. Okay. All right, just got a message on my phone asking for some more money. Boy, that get a lot of those around this time. One of the things that's stimulating that, I'm pretty sure you know what it is. We have 25 days and 11 hours and 40 minutes till election day. And boy, everybody and his brother wants money from you during that time. I know. I ran for office, and I asked for money as well. Didn't get much, but I asked for it. I was one of those type of politicians that if you don't give me money on the first try, I wasn't going to bug you a second time, all right? Hey, by the way, the voting day this year is November 3rd, and the ballots have gone out, I believe, as of yesterday. So you should, if you're doing an absentee ballot, you should be getting those in the next day or so. All right. My wife told me we didn't get ours yesterday, so we're hoping that it'll be in the mail today. But the voting day is November 3rd, which is a Tuesday, always is. And that's 25 days away, 25 days and 11 hours, whatever I said. Inauguration Day is Wednesday, January the 20th, which is 103 days away. That's when whoever wins this election will take over as the president. And the Popcorn Festival is only 335 days away. I say that because I really enjoyed the Popcorn Festival when I worked with it. It was great fun. Great fun. I loved it. Okay, now what I got to do here with my phone to make sure I get everything back. Yeah, I know. I'm not going to volunteer to do that either. Got another message. Get a lot of messages on your phone anymore, don't you? Do you get tired of getting those... as a matter of fact, I need to make sure my sound is off, because sometimes I get messages from people that I don't really want to hear from. And, you know, I've gotten really good at, if I don't recognize the address, I delete it and block it. I've got more phones blocked on my phone than probably have ever called me. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to do some more of the trivia, Marion County trivia that my friend Fred Malone, I had a momentary lapse there, Fred Malone has given to me from the Marion Historical Society, and these are all kind of interesting things that you should know. what was this message that I got last night? Oh, yeah. Kind of interesting last night. I don't know if you watched the debates, but the one humorous part of the debate, and there weren't very many humorous parts, my son sent me a text, "Where is the fly?" There was a fly that came and sat on Vice President Pence's head. I don't know how long it stayed there. He didn't seem to notice it. It didn't apparently move much, so he didn't try and flick it off or anything. I wondered the whole time if the moderator and also Kamala Harris, who could probably see it, because Mr. Pence has very bright white hair, and the fly was very black, and it just stood out like a sore thumb, and it was on the front right side of his head, which faced Kamala. I was wondering if they noticed it and were being polite and not saying it, but it didn't move. And for a while, I was afraid maybe he had used some hairspray and the thing was stuck. But eventually it did take off. But my son texted me while it was going on and said, "Where is the fly?" It was not on his head at that point. Oh, well, kind of interesting what we go through in this short life that we all have. None of us are going to live 300 years, so make the best of what you got. I just noticed that I must have bumped into something. I have a bruise on my left arm. That's what happens as you get older. You get bruises easily, especially if you're on medicine that makes your blood flow easier, which I am. All right, here's a question. Actually, it's two questions in one. Which township, this is in Marion County, which township went from being the largest when it was originally platted to now being the smallest? And this township also has no villages or towns in it. Now, why would you even have a township that doesn't have any villages or towns in it? I guess there are people that live there. They just don't have villages or towns. Which township do you think it is? Grand Township. Is that township. No villages or towns in Grand Township. So I guess there'll be no town meetings. along the same line, which township was named for the expansive view it gave to the earliest settlers? It also has Grand in its name. Grand Prairie. And I'm not sure where these townships are. I haven't lived in this area very long. Well, 14 years, 15 years, no, 16 years. But I haven't learned the townships. I did run for township trustee once, but that was for Marion Township, which is right here, surrounding Marion City. I didn't win, as you probably know, but I had a good time. Got out, got to meet some people, got to talk on League of Women Voters thing. That was kind of fun. I did that twice, when both times I ran. I kind of enjoyed being able to tell a lot of people the way I stood. Obviously, a lot of people didn't like the way I stood. which township was named for a captain in the War of 1812 who established an old blockhouse? And I'm going to have to ask, there are several of these questions that Fred has given me that I'm going to have to ask follow-up questions on, and one of them is this one. But the name of the township that was named for a captain in the War of 1812, who established an old block house, was Green Camp. Now, I'm guessing his name was Green, and that's why they call it Green Camp. But I'm not sure of that. So I'm going to ask Fred when I see him next week. I'm going to ask him, what was Mr. Green's first name, or is it even a name? How did that? There's another one that I'm going to have to ask him about. Which township is named after an accident involving deer hunting and Marion's first tavern keeper? Salt Rock. Now, do you understand what Salt Rock has to do with deer hunting and tavern keeping? I don't understand. I'm going to ask Mr. Malone why that is related. I'm sure he has the answer for that. Since we're talking about townships, which township received its name from a large grove of trees in the middle of the prairie, which covered much of Marion County? This was the township that got its name from a large grove of trees that were in the middle of the prairie, which covered Marion County. I'm trying to think of, we do have a lot of prairie land, especially north and northwest of Marion. But the name of that township is Big Island. You head out, what is it? You head out, Kenton Avenue? Head straight out Kenton Avenue, and you'll end up out there in Big Island, the village of Big Island, which I assume is the township seat, if there is such a thing. I walked that once. I was walking to raise funds for Children's Hospital down in Columbus. And our walk was from, there's a big bunch of silos way out on Kenton Avenue. It's, 309 that goes out that way, I believe it is. Anyway, there's a bunch of silos out there, and we walked all the way from there into downtown Marion. It was about, I would guess it was about 6 or 7 miles. And I was tired. I was tired. And we had to walk on that highway, and the highway is not real broad. So if you saw a car come, you walked against the traffic. Any of you kids who are listening right now, always walk against the traffic. It'll save your life. And we walked against the traffic, and we walked that whole way. And I was ready. It might have been 11 miles. And I was ready for a nap when we got done. But I raised a lot of money for the kids down at the Children's Hospital. A great charity. I always loved doing that, and I did it every year while I was at the credit union, and we raised a lot of money for them. I was really proud, and I had a lot of my friends at the credit union that helped me out, and to this day, they are all great friends of mine. Even though they've changed their name, It's no longer Marion Community Credit Union. It's now, what is it? Pillar, I think. Pillar Credit Union. Confusing to me, but they felt they needed to change. Maybe they were just trying to get rid of the stink of Glenn Coble working there. I don't know. which township was settled as the result of a tornado? Now, that's kind of interesting. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even know we had a township by this name. I would have thought this township would be far, much farther north. the township is Bowling Green Township. It was settled as a result of a tornado. The tornado must have come along and ripped up a bunch of people's houses, and they had to move to build a new house, I guess. I'm going to have to ask Fred about that, too. Which township has a waterway passing through it which carries two different names? Now, he didn't give me both the names, but he did give me the name of the township. Richland Township. That's the township that has a body of water that rolls through it that has two different names. Did you know that there are no lakes in the state of Ohio, no natural lakes in the state of Ohio, with the exception of Lake Erie? That always surprised me. Most of the lakes that you see, like down at the down in Delaware, there's a big lake down there. It's just a dammed up river. It's a reservoir. And that's what all the lakes that we have are, just reservoirs that have been dammed up rivers. I think I can say that word on the air, can I? Dammed up rivers? I think that's okay. All right. All right. You're listening to Swap Shop. If you have anything that you want to sell, anything that you want to get rid of, and we understand that there isn't a lot of action going on in Swap Shop during the COVID virus, and we understand that. Don't worry about it. We're going to keep doing this, just because there's always something that people, and as we get closer to Christmas, I have no doubts there will be events that people want to put on. We get several events. Tall Grass Trail always gives us their events to mention to people. And if you are going to one of those, as a matter of fact, let me pull up the ones that are coming up right now. We did October 1st. We had the wonderful World of Pawpaws, and I ate some pawpaws that James Anderson brought in, and quite an unusual flavor. He told me it was kind of like mango mixed with banana, and that's exactly what it was. And it was very good. Hard to get a lot out of these little tiny pawpaws, but my wife and I both had a little taste of it. We ate the two pawpaws and enjoyed them. It was about 2 teaspoons each. That's about all we got out of them, but it was very good. We enjoyed it. But that one's over, so you don't go to that one, all right? Let's see, what is the date today? I always forget what today's date is, but I have it on my phone. Let me pull it up here. Today's date is the 8th. And so tomorrow, October 9th, on Friday, they're going to have a bat and owl program at the Tall Grass Trail. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. Make sure you bring a red flashlight. You know, the red flashlights allow your eyes to adjust to the darkness, but yet still see something. But it also protects the animals' eyes at night. So make sure you bring a red flashlight if you're going to go to that. And I'll give you the phone number to call to make sure they haven't booked completely full. After I finish giving you a couple more dates, and all three of these dates are dates that you'll need to call ahead. Let me give you that number. It's 740-223-4161. I'll give you that number again after I finish telling you the other other two things that are going on in the near future. All right, the Bat and Owl program is tomorrow at 7 p.m. Bring the red flashlight because you're going to go out on the trail. You might be seeing some bats flying over you as we get closer to Halloween, right? Okay, October 10th, which is Saturday, they're going to have their bird watching group go out. They're going to be at Myers Woods Nature Preserve at 8 a.m. So if you're interested in doing that, again, I'll give you that number to call. And then on the 15th, Fall Wildflower Hike will be on the Marion Tallgrass Trail itself at 5 p.m. So if any of those things are interesting you, here's the number again that you need to call because they have a number that they're allowed to take. I think it's 9. But they're required by, you know, the state rules regarding COVID crowds. They're required to cut it off at whatever the number is, and I think it's 9. But call them at 740-223-4161. That also brings up another point. I thought maybe now I have... Fred Malone from the Historical Society coming up next week on Thursday, and then the following week, then I have James Anderson from the Marion. He's our Marion naturalist, and then the following week, which is the 29th, I have no one. So I thought maybe it'd be an interesting time, and I looked up. There are several spooky stories that I can read to you. So maybe we'll do most of the morning. We'll read some spooky stories because Halloween is 2 days after our last Thursday of the month. The last Thursday of the month is the 29th, and Halloween is the 31st. Now I'm going to have to. As we get closer to that, I'm going to have to get the hours that Marion is allowing trick-or-treating, or even if they are allowing trick-or-treating with the problem that we have right now. What do you think about that? Do you think you'd let your kids? My kids are no longer kids. They're large adults. I do have some grandchildren, and I'm concerned. I know that my grandchildren from Worthington will probably not go door-to-door, house-to-house. Their mother is a nurse and very strict about that sort of thing. Now, I don't know about my daughter who has 4 children out in North Carolina. They have a cul-de-sac that they live on, and they know and relate to all those people on the cul-de-sac, and she may allow them to go to those different houses. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to find out. I think if I were a parent of a young child right now, I would have a hard time letting them go out. I don't know. I'm an old-timer, and fortunately, I don't have to make that decision, all right? Which village was once known as Middletown? Now, this one's one of our big villages in our county, and it would surprise me if you didn't know this. The town that was known as Middletown, it was known as Middletown up until 1876, and then it was renamed Prospect. So if you're from Prospect, you're a Middletowner. I wonder if it's that close to... I don't know why it would be called Middletown. Maybe it's in the middle of Marion County? No, I don't think it is. It would be more in the south side of Marion County. But anyway, that was their name up until 1876. All right, here's another question for you about a village here in the Marion County area. Which village was founded by a major of the War of 1812. 1812 seems to have a lot to do with Marion County. But which village was founded by a major of the War of 1812 who purchased land, negotiated for a railroad right-of-way through the village, and, as part of the railroad agreement, required all trains using the tracks to stop in the village to take on water? There was even graft back then, right? Well, I don't know. Maybe that was just what you did. Force railroads to stop in your town to take on water. I wonder if they charged them for that water. Well, that town that was established by a major of War of 1812, that was LaRue. And kind of interesting. All these are interesting. We asked about Middletown. Which village was originally known as Berwick? Now, there's a Berwick in Illinois. It's right outside of Chicago. But that's not this town. This little village, it was originally known as Berwick, was Green Camp. Now, I think I'd rather be called a Green Camper than a Berwickian. But anyway, Berwick was the name of Green Camp before it was Green Camp. Which village has had at least four different names? Now, I'm going to have to talk to Fred again. It doesn't tell what the four names were, but it tells what the final name is. Which village had at least four different names? New Bloomington. The only thing I know about Bloomington is the town in Indiana where Indiana University is. But this is New Bloomington, so it's not that one. All right. You're listening to Swap Shop here on WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. I'm Glenn Coble. I'll be here for the next how many minutes? I'll be here for the next, probably 17 minutes, all right? And if you have something that you want to sell or want something, an announcement you want to make, give us a call, 740-383-9944. I'll give you that again after I finish this. We'll let you sell just about anything as long as it doesn't require registration or a license or, you know, things like guns and houses and cars and stuff like that. You can't do those over a swap shop. But, colanders and tin hats and baseball gloves and baseball mitts, all those things you can sell right here. You just call us up, give us what you have to sell, give us your phone number, because they'll have to call you to arrange that they come and pick it up, because you're going to have to arrange how to do it and stay socially distanced and put the mask on and all that sort of thing. That's one of the reasons why we don't really push this show a lot, because there's so many problems involved with it. But it can be done if you just give it a good old college try. And that number, if you want to sell something, 740-383-9944. I'm Glenn Coble. I hope this morning was fun. We read the bear story by James Whitcomb Riley, and it's a good old-fashioned, well, not old-fashioned, it was written a long time ago by Mr. Riley, and it was written in a country jargon from Hoosierville, from Indiana. And southern Indiana, if I recall correctly. And the language that was used to do the bear story is quite unique and quite fun. It's hard to read. It's very hard to read. I hope I did okay. And we've decided that maybe on the 29th, which is the last Thursday of the month, we might read some more things like that. Only we're going to do it along a theme of spookiness. That'll be on that Thursday. I've found several different short story, spooky short stories. So if your kids are at home, you know, a lot of kids are at home at different times of the day anymore. Maybe you can have them pull up the radio. Do like what I did when I was a kid. I used to listen with my father to the Gillette sports scoreboard and the Gillette boxing matches. And kind of strange for a minister to have his son listen with him to the boxing matches. But we did. And we listened to Johnny Dollar. We listened to the Shadow Knows. There were all sorts of great old radio shows. Mostly they lasted 15 minutes. They weren't real long ones. As I got older, I really loved the radio dramas. I actually wrote some radio dramas, and I performed in one called Power Prof. I happened to be at the university at the time, and several of my friends thought it would be fun to do a series called Power Prof, and I happened to be lucky enough to be Power Prof myself.
And I used a really funny voice.
And it was very, very popular amongst the students because we made a lot of fun out of the administration at that university. But we had a good time doing it. It was even published on Earplay, which is, at the time, it was a contest for radio dramas at universities. And it was great fun. Well, anyway, on Thursday the 29th, the morning of Thursday the 29th, I'm going to make an announcement right now. We're going to have some spooky stories on. And have your kids pull up a chair and get scared. We won't terrify them. We're not going to, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the type of stuff. But it'll be scary. Well, at least that's what the book told me. And I'm looking forward to reading that to you. I would, you know, I always wanted to read, when Christmas comes around, I always wanted to read The Night Before Christmas. But I I've tried to do it to myself, and I just don't read it very well. So I've never done that, that one. I'm pretty good at oral interpretation, but that one catches me. I just don't sound like a Santa Claus, I guess. All right, let's continue on with a little bit of this trivia that Fred Malone has given us from the Marion County Historical Society. And this is all stuff that he researched, or his family. I'm not sure that it was all him, but it's done in, he wrote it in hand, so he worked hard at this one. Which village is named after a Welsh word meaning woody shelter? Oh, that's kind of interesting. Apparently, my family settled after they came from Germany. They settled in Wales, and so we were kind of Welsh. So I guess I should know this, but I never heard of it. The town, the village that was named after the Welsh word meaning woody shelter is Caledonia. Caledonia is a Welsh name for woody shelter. What's a woody shelter? I guess a log cabin would be a woody shelter, right? Which village was originally called Van Buskirk? Van Buskirk. That's kind of interesting. Because before Caledonia was named, well, I mean, before, the question before was what that it was a Welsh word wood, meaning woody shelter, Caledonia. But Caledonia was the original name. I mean, Van Buskirk was the original name that Caledonia became. So I know I confused you completely on that. I'm sorry about that. What is probably the best example of a ghost town in Marion County? Owens Station. I don't know where that is. I'm going to have to look that up when I go home. I got my homework for me. Owens Station is probably the best example of a ghost town in Marion. We used to go to New Straitsville. My wife had a little an evening paper route. We'd take the papers around in our truck. It was like 200 or 300 people. So, I was working for the newspaper at the time, and we just thought it'd be a nice way to get a little extra money. And we, like on Sundays, we would do it at night. So it would give us some time to be together from about 9 o'clock to about 3 o'clock at night. And I think it was New Straitsville we would drive into. And it was a spooky town because many of the places were closed up, but the places that weren't closed up, the lighting that came out of New Straitsville was kind of spooky. Made you think that something bad was going on there. I think it was New Straitsville. I'm going to have to ask my wife when I get home. Which village was changed its name at least 3 times? It also was named in honor of a man who promised to bring railroad through the village, but he never did. Even so, the village still bears the name. Which town are we talking about? It was apparently named Cochrane Town and Scott Town before it was named this. All right? Meeker. That's what Meeker was named. And it was named after a man who promised to bring a railroad through the village. Boy, that's something. You get your name put on the name of a village out of a promise and then bail. Bail on the promise. He did. Never did. The train never did go through Meeker. Okay, what is the connection between Milo D. Pettibone, the first prosecuting attorney of Marion County, and a Marion County village? That's interesting, too, because I always thought this town was named after something else. But anyway, the village of Waldo was named after Mr. Pettibone's son. It wasn't named after that guy that wears the striped shirt and you can never find him in the picture. It was named after Milo D. Pettibone's son, and Mr. Pettibone was the first prosecuting attorney here in Marion County. Okay. You're listening to Swap Shop. I'm Glenn Coble. Apparently, we're not going to do much swapping today. but if you still got about 7 minutes, and if you have something that you want to try to get posted, 740-383-9944. And we will be on again next week at the all morning Thursday, and then with the Swap Shop in the early afternoon. Next week, we're going to have Fred Malone on from the Marion Historical Society. And the following week, we're going to have James Anderson on, who is the Marion County naturalist, and both of them, great fonts of wisdom. I've learned more working here for the last 2 years, listening to guys like this, than I had learned probably in my previous 72 years. well, at least I learned, I've learned things from all sorts of people around Marion that I would never have guessed that I would have learned when we moved here. You'd think we came from Athens, and you'd think you'd learn all sorts of stuff when you're in a college town. The one thing I learned is on Halloween night, if you don't want to get accosted, don't go outside. It really is. I don't know if you've ever been to Athens on Halloween. I enjoyed it a lot. On Halloween night, and it's usually a weekend. Well, it's always a weekend that they declare it. 30, 35,000 kids, including all the students of OU, they go downtown and they basically take over downtown Athens. And you can actually hear it happen. At about 7 or 8 o'clock, you can start to hear a low rumble. By 10 o'clock, it's a high rumble, and by midnight, it sounds like it's right outside your door. We only lived about, I'd guess, 5 blocks from downtown, so it was really loud. And it was kind of fun. I was always asked, everybody that worked in the athletic department was asked to guard the facilities. Now, I never did understand how you guard a baseball or a softball diamond, but we had to. I remember one time we had to guard the stadium. One time I had to guard the convocation center. Never did quite understand how you did that. All right, here we are. We have a phone call. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm a graduate of Ohio University.
Love it. Is this Fred?
Big parties downtown.
Well, they were good parties, weren't they?
Oh, my word. As a freshman there in 1968, that was unbelievable for a country boy from Logan to be a part of that. I never knew what the size of the crowds were. I knew they were huge.
Yes.
But to be a part of that. And, I usually got out of there pretty early because the closer it got to midnight, the crazier it got.
Yes, it did. And it can get dangerous.
A few times over the years, it got particularly violent. So my time there was usually early until it started to get dark, and then I was going.
Some of the costumes the kids develop are just so
unbelievable.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Some of them are obscene. Many of them are obscene. But
unbelievable.
Amazing how much time they put in. Well, I remember one year my youngest son went to it, and he dressed himself up as a refrigerator. And it was... He did a good job of it, but it was hard for him to walk around.
Oh yeah, we had a place on when I was there in the late '60s, and I don't know how long it existed after I left. But there was a place uptown on State Street, one of the older buildings, called the Appalachian Lighthouse. And they would have bands in there every weekend, and I saw some pretty good names in there in the late '60s. I mean, some big headliners.
Yeah.
That weren't headliners yet, were still fledgling bands.
Kind of like the Popcorn Festival bands.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Jimi Hendrix in there.
Wow.
And Jim Morrison and the Doors. I saw them there. Just unbelievable. But anyway, that old town has the reputation of being a party school. So
yeah.
It would never surprise me that the Halloween party was like it was.
You know, the other thing about that town, it's known as it's many times been named the number one party school in America, but it's also a very fine educational institution.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We refer to ourselves as the Harvard on the Hocking.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah. And you could surf the Hocking, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll let you go.
Okay. Thanks for calling
in. Next week.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Fred Malone, the guy I've been talking about so much here today, because he gave me all these trivia questions that I have a lot of questions to ask him about. Anyway, we only have about 20 seconds, and I want to thank you for listening to Swap Shop and listening to On the Air prior to that. We hope you will join us again next week. Same place, same station, same crazy information, and we'll have a good time then. Have a good day.
WWG